Welcome to About Music, The Art of Listening, with Brian. In our recent three programs, we explored the flute, one of the oldest and most enduring of instruments. Today, we continue our journey with the woodwind family. The woodwind family forms four main branches: the flutes, where the sound is made by blowing across or into a hole; the clarinets and saxophones, which use a single reed vibrating against a mouthpiece; oboes, cor anglais, using a double reed, two blades of cane, vibrating against each other; and the bassoons and contrabassoons, which are the lower pitched members of the double reed family. Much like the string family, each branch of the woodwind family has instruments covering both high and low ranges, from piccolo to bass flute, E-flat clarinet to contrabass clarinet, oboe to bassoon, and so on. Together, these give the orchestra its wide palette of colors. Despite their differences, all woodwind instruments operate on the same basic principle. Air is set in vibration inside a pipe. The length of the pipe is altered by opening and closing holes or keys with the fingers or keypads. Altering the length of the pipe has the effect of changing the pitch. Modern instruments use finely engineered airtight pads to seal those holes. Every player must also master the use of lips, teeth, and tongue to shape the sound, what musicians call the embouchure. Subtle changes in embouchure control the color, tuning, and clarity of tone. We're going to look first at the clarinet family, the single reed family. The clarinet's design gives it one of the widest ranges of any wind instrument, from the dark velvety depths of the Chalumeau register, through the warm middle range, up to the brilliant and agile top notes. Over time, this flexibility made the clarinet not just a supporting orchestral voice, but a soloist of the highest order. It was Mozart, in his last year of life, who gave the clarinet its crown jewel, the Concerto in A Major, K622, the first masterpiece of its kind and still the most beloved clarinet concerto today. Mozart encountered the clarinet relatively late in his career, but he was captivated by its color and expressive breadth. His friendship with Anton Stadler, a virtuoso of the instrument, inspired not only chamber works, but also this concerto, composed in 1791, just weeks before Mozart's death. This concerto has become the cornerstone of the clarinet repertoire and a perfect example of the classical concerto form. The first movement, marked allegro or quick, is structured in sonata form with a double exposition, which means that the orchestra first presents the main themes and then the clarinet enters, expanding and coloring them. Mozart balances the dialogue between the soloist and the orchestra with moments of lyrical display. The second movement, a slow movement, is a slow aria without words. This movement shows the clarinet at its most vocal and expressive. Its poised, flowing melody is one of Mozart's most moving creations. And then we have the rondo movement, final movement marked quick, cheerful and dance-like. This finale alternates a recurring refrain with lively contrasting episodes. That's, of course, the hallmark of a classical rondo form. Mozart here gives the clarinet playful agility, ending this concerto in a spirit of joy. Together, these movements demonstrate the hallmarks of the classical concerto: a balance between the soloist and the ensemble, clear formal structures, elegant themes, and opportunities for expressive lyricism alongside sparkling virtuosity.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Where Mozart revealed the clarinet's lyric soul, Carl Maria von Weber showed its flair for drama. Written in 1811 for the virtuoso Heinrich Bauermann, this concerto is one of two Weber composed for him, along with his earlier concerto No. 1 in F minor. Weber was a master of the theatre. His operas helped shape early German Romanticism, and that sense of drama pervades this concerto. The first movement, again quick, is brilliant and energetic, full of rapid passage work and leaps that exploit the clarinet's agility. Orchestral tutti's frame solo flights in keeping with the concerto tradition. The second movement, as we would expect, is the slow movement, a romance, dreamy and song-like, with a vocal quality that seems to anticipate Weber's operatic writing. The clarinet weaves long, expressive lines over delicate orchestral textures. The third movement, marked Alla Polacca, is a finale in the style of the Polonaise, a fashionable Polish dance. It features sparkling rhythms, virtuoso figuration, and playful exchanges between the clarinet and orchestra, bringing the concerto to a spirited close. This concerto says the clarinet is a true romantic soloist, agile, expressive, dramatic, and capable of commanding the stage like an operatic singer. We have time for a small encore. As a graceful close to the program, we turn to Gabriel Pierney, a French composer, conductor, and organist. His Canzonetta Opus 19, composed in 1887, is a charming miniature, often likened to a gentle waltz. Although it's modest in scale, this work highlights the clarinet's lyrical voice and effortless ability to sing. It remains Pierney's only piece for clarinet and piano, yet it has secured a lasting place as a beloved encore, light, elegant, and touched with Parisian charm. With this item, I bid you farewell until Thursday at 6 p.m., when I hope you will join me for our light music program. This week, I will feature more clarinet music miniatures to delight and relax you. Thank you.